Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Wonderful here at your service, reporting for duty, as politicians say sometimes, and I'm excited about having Dr. Bob Arnott back on the show, and you know who Dr. Bob is. You've seen him many times on television. He's currently NBC News correspondent for medical issues. He's the best-selling author of many books. His books have sold something under 10 million copies worldwide, and he's the author of the new book, Seven Steps to Stopping a Heart Attack. And more importantly, in terms of the news, folks, if you remember, a couple of months ago, Bob was on the show, and he was just on his way to help out the folks over in the tsunami area over in South Asia. And so I've asked him to come back and talk to us about that visit, among other things. Dr. Bob Arnott, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a great pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back. And let me say that on behalf of all of us Americans whose heart went out to the folks over in the tsunami area of South Asia who would like to have helped out but who didn't, and you did, And for all of us that you did a little bit of that for us, we thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you very much.
Well, tell us what you where'd you go and what did you find?
Jim, I went right to the heart of this, which was Banda Aceh, Indonesia. It's really where the main bulk of this tidal wave hit. I had been invited out there by the Christian organization World Vision, a great relief group. I'm also on the board of Save the Children, so I mm-hmm. was spending some time out really looking at the children's issue there, because there are 38,000 of these children just in Banda Aceh who have lost their parents. And with this, they really go to an incredibly high risk level. That is, there are sex traffickers out there looking to actually steal them and bring them off to brothels. They, of course, don't have food, water, home, medicine, any of this. Well, to the rescue, you have these wonderful, really kind of heroic relief operations on the ground in Banda Aceh. But it also left, if you look at the coast, it's like the Pacific Highway in California. If you just rip that out of California, you can imagine how hard it would be to reach people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing happened in Sumatra, where that whole coastal road went out.
Right.
And you had thousands of communities that nobody could really reach. So the U.S. Navy comes in with a carrier group in the most amazing operation I have ever seen. I was out on the carrier, and we would get up in the Hilo in the morning and go out and fly into these spaces that were half again as long as the Hilo. They do 2-foot hovers, 1-foot, you know, sort of one gear on the ground, landings,
mm-hmm.
anything. The U.S. Navy said, the pilots told me, this is the most challenging but fun and interesting flying we have ever done.
Hmm.
And these, you know, sort of battle-hardened Navy pilots, kind of with tears in their eyes, were just talking about the gratitude that they had that they could help these people, that, you know, the first few days they'd be out there begging for water and food, and the next couple of days was clothing, then it was wood and cooking utensils,
mm-hmm.
and finally it was cigarettes that they moved fired up the needs list, that
right.
They were looking at less than necessary items. So there was the prediction that 160,000 lives would be lost in addition to those already lost epidemic disease. But because of what the Navy did, their ability to take doctors and fly them immediately into a village that might have a little case of measles or so, then vaccinate that whole village. They
mm-hmm.
they basically saved, I think, tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of lives. And then when you look at these relief groups, World Vision and Save the Children, they're quickly into the business of getting these kids back to school.
And those are people who are there. They were there before this happened, aren't they? Many of them were there before this happened, and they're going to stay there for a long time, aren't they?
Absolutely. Save the Children has been there for 40 years. World Vision has been in Indonesia for about the same period of time. So these are groups that really understand what needs to be done. They know the people. They know the neighborhoods. They know the individuals. And they're really hard at it in terms of reconstructing lives and livelihoods for these families that are left.
Right. Give us an example of some of the things that you did while you were there.
A couple of things. The main thing I did was to look at feet. That is, you either had to worry about gangrene because of wounds that people had, or you had to worry about tetanus. Those are the big things. So when I flew with the Navy into these various villages, I would look at people's feet to see whether or not they had some gangrene or they had tetanus. The other thing I did was to spend a lot of time in these children's centers, sitting down and just drawing with them. It was a great way of being able to break the language barrier, and they would draw pictures of these tidal waves coming in. And then they'd have a stick figure on top of it. And you'd say, who's that? And they'd say, that's mom or dad.
And they're gone.
And they're gone. And this way that they can slowly, before they can even talk about it, they can draw about it, they can sing, they can play. It's a great way of getting these kids back back on their feet.
Wow. Dr. Bob, thank you for that. And I want to have a few more questions to ask you about this. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back with Dr. Bob Arnott, we're going to talk some more about his trip to Banda Aceh, Indonesia, and we're going to talk about your heart health. Right after these messages, stay with us.
I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Please subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It comes every week by email on Sunday. Gets you ready for the week ahead. And if you were already a subscriber to that newsletter, then you would have received it this last week. And you would have seen that Dr. Bob Arnott was on my show because we include the schedule of the upcoming interviews that we're going to be having that week. That's always in the newsletter every week. Dr. Bob is the author of 7 Steps to Stop a Heart Attack, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But Dr. Bob, before we go any further, I want you to give us your website.
Actually, you know, Jim, I don't have one yet.
Well, where should we go and get your book?
You can get it at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, either of them. You can get it at most major bookstores as well.
You need a website, Dr. Bob.
I do need a website.
You need a blog or something, because people need to know how to keep up with what's going on in your life. You have a very interesting life. You contribute so much to the world, and I think people need to know about that.
Well, I think you're right. You got to help me get a website started up.
I will help you. You let me know, and I will help you. First thing we got to do is get your URL reserved, drbob.com or something like that. Okay, Bob, you've done this, and folks, if you know anything about Dr. Bob Arnott, you know that this wasn't his first rodeo, so to speak, with the tsunami situation. He's been all over the world helping people in times of strife, and that's one of the reasons why we admire him so much here in this shop. And Bob, compare what you found and what you saw in Banda Aceh and that part of the world with some of the stuff you've done in Africa and other parts of the world.
Sure. The view of Banda Aceh from U.S. Navy Hilo when you come up is staggering, in that you see just, you know, hundreds of square miles still underwater. And when you land in Banda Aceh, you see what looks like a hurricane, a tidal wave, and an earthquake all hitting simultaneously. So for physical destruction, hard to match. But in terms of loss of life, this Rwanda genocide was the worst I ever saw, with a million people murdered. Mm-hmm. And what's happening right now in Africa with this horrendous HIV/AIDS epidemic. I spent all of December out there working with young children who are infected with AIDS. And although, you know, you would think this is extremely depressing, which it had been, with 12.5 million of these children orphaned, there's great new hope. There's a wonderful new program where they're now treating these children who are infected. And it looks as if they're going to have the completely normal sort of childhood, adolescence. They'll go to high school, they'll go to college, and the most amazing thing is it's likely that they will get married and be able to have HIV-negative children.
Really?
Of their own, yeah.
What is this, a new drug?
Well, what it is it's just sort of backbreaking work on the part of Baylor University and others to figure out the formulations. It's, you know, it's a combination of different drugs. It's different for children, different suspensions. They work very, very hard with them. They have whole core doctors that work with them, and it just works very, very well.
Well, that's very interesting. What is? Do you have any idea how, if somebody, you know, you're pulling at some heartstrings here today, Dr. Bob? Is there any group that you, if we wanted to contribute or to do some kind of support work for, is there anybody that you recommend, and how would we contact those people?
Sure. Well, both of these organizations have websites, both Save the Children and World Vision, the same groups that have done such a wonderful job.
And they're doing the Rwanda stuff, too?
Well, they're in Rwanda, and but they are very, very, very hard and heavy in terms of AIDS in Africa. They are protecting these AIDS orphans in a most remarkable way, creating the whole future around them so that they have their schooling, there's micro-enterprise, so that there's some way their parents can make a living, that they have good health, that there are clinics there, really building a future for them, which, Jim, I think is incredibly important, not just in terms of HIV/AIDS and the impact of that, but also, most importantly, in terms of this humanitarian campaign against terror, that if you're building a life for these kids are not going to grow up and go the way of terrorists. And Africa is a huge base.
It is.
For Al-Qaeda. Huge.
It really is. And I've spoken with people who are from Nigeria, and they've told me some horror stories that are happening in that part of the world. Bob, thank you again for your efforts over there in the tsunami area and in Africa as well. What do you think? Where do you think we're going to be in terms of, obviously, the tsunami was an event, but in terms of the kind of systemic suffering that you've got in a place like Africa and in Rwanda and those places, what do you see 20 years from now? Are we making progress, or are we just doing the best we can to hold the tide back?
Well, in countries like Zimbabwe, the tide is really, you know, not being held back. You know, you have a cruel dictator running the country and people suffering unimaginably. But in other countries, Kenya is an example, Uganda, both of these countries have had a decrease in the amount of AIDS by about 50%, staggering decrease. And, you know, they're really struggling to make an economic impact. Uganda really had been the better success in terms of agriculture and pushing forward. Tony Blair, the British Prime Minister, now has a whole Africa initiative. And Africa was sort of cheated in the 90s in the sense that that was supposed to be the African decade, and we spent all this time and effort on the East Bloc that had been freed up. And then, of course, we had the war on terror beginning at the beginning of this decade. So it's really Africa's turn. I'm very confident that if we really turned our attention on them and we're really determined to help them in terms of what you do, in terms of small businesses, to kind of get them up and running, to have a real economic future, that this is a country or a continent that really could thrive. And I'm
I think you're right, because about 2 years ago, I actually was asked by the U.S. Trade Representative to moderate a panel of small business experts from the Southern African Union. Commercial union, I should say, and I went to Washington and did that, and there were about 100 people who came over trying to develop the economy in that part of the world, and so I'm hopeful for the things that I saw there as well. Dr. Bob Arnott, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk about your heart. Back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our friend Dr. Bob Arnott, the author of 7 Steps to Stop a Heart Attack, among other books that he's written. He's written actually something under a dozen books that sold something under 10 million copies worldwide, right, Dr. Bob?
That's right, Jim, yes.
Something under 10 million, is that right? Something.
Just shy of 10 million.
Just shy of 10. Hey, I want you to quickly tell us what your next project is. Where are you going next?
My next project is to go back into Southern Africa. I'm involved in a campaign there really to try and take the 700,000 African children who are infected themselves with HIV and who will all die without treatment to really put together a very, very effective treatment strategy so that we can save literally hundreds of thousands.
What are you doing to protect yourself when you deal with these sick individuals?
I really don't do much, to tell you the truth. I mean, I get a little malaria once in a while, and I've had cholera a couple of times. I just sort of roll with the punches.
But, I mean, well, that's, you know, just be careful, because that's very dangerous work, and we tip our hat to you, Bob, for what you're doing. And now, will we be able to see, are you going to be filing any reports in the near future on television that we can see anything coming up like that?
Well, Jim, I am going to have a whole hour broadcast just on this topic of these AIDS-infected children, which is actually a very inspiring hour. And what I will do is I'll get you the air date and time for that.
If you would, I'd like to tell my audience about that so they can watch it. So be sure to let me know about that. All right. February is almost over, but it's Heart Health Month, American Heart Month, and which speaks right to your book, Seven Steps to Stop a Heart Attack. You told us the other day, tell us again how many deaths there are, or maybe it was heart attacks, there are in America for every year.
Well, Jim, the staggering thing is that there are 460,000 Americans every year who have a heart attack either in their home, in the ambulance, or in the emergency room, who die, who are just missed. Somehow or other, they are missed. They didn't lower their cholesterol or their blood pressure. They didn't know they were at risk. And they died suddenly and unexpectedly.
Almost a half a million a year just from a heart attack.
And that's just from the unexpected ones,
the unexpected ones.
But, Jim, here's the real heart of the matter. There is a brand new and very frightening heart attack that almost no one is aware of that can, without any symptoms, come out, and even if you're in your 40s, take you, a man or woman, and strike you down. And this is the equivalent, really, of like a volcano in your coronary arteries that has a very sort of thin, fibrous cap. And when that cap blows, you go down. That's it.
And you're dead before you hit the ground.
You're dead before you hit the ground, or you've had a severe heart attack. And because the vast majority of Americans don't realize what this new heart attack is, they blithely go unaware. And just to give an example.
Does it have symptoms? Is there something you can feel before that?
Well, you see, that's the interesting thing is that most people who have a heart attack do not have the classic John Wayne heart attack where they clutch their chest and they drop to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
This new heart attack, which is easily preventable, and the book talks about that, is something that if the vast majority of Americans realize what it was, they would this afternoon be in their doctor's offices and tomorrow morning be on the right kind of medications to prevent it. It's that frightening. I mean, I go to
how easy is it to detect, to identify?
Well, the interesting thing is you can't do it with a stress test because you may have a completely negative stress test.
Right.
You may not even see it on an angiogram if someone goes.
So it's kind of it's a little bit of a birth defect.
Well, what it really is it's what we call an unstable plaque. That is, you have these blockages that grow in your arteries. But what we've learned is that they needn't be very big. They don't have to block off your arteries so you have symptoms. They can be completely flat. They can be blocking just 10, 20, 30% of your coronary artery. But they can be extremely dangerous. The real way around this is to have measured a new thing that we call CRP, that's C-reactive protein. It shows the amount of inflammation in your arteries, which is a brand new concept. It was in the New England Journal.
So we ought to go to our doctors and have that test done?
Have a CRP done, have the whole cholesterol screen, and, of course, you know, your history and physical. And with that, your doctor is going to be able to say, gee, you know, your risk here is high enough. We really ought to do something because the fact is that if you're over 50 and you're a man or a woman, you probably ought to be on one of these drugs we call statins.
Really?
Well, yeah. A lot of people, you know, are on aspirin, but for a low-risk population, that poses real risk of stroke and bleeding.
Right, right.
But these statins, in a very quick time, stabilize these unstable plaques very, very quickly so that you build a fibrous cap over it and you prevent it from sort of blowing up on you.
Dr. Bob, I got to wrap it up, and I apologize because you talked about this the last time you were here. Folks, go to your doctor, ask for the CRP test, check that out, especially if you're over 50. Dr. Bob, thank you for being here. Will you come back another day?
I will. I'd love to, Jim.
Thank you. Dr. Bob Arnott, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be, too. I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.